This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Next up on our Pride Games special tonight is the person who is at the head of the AFLW. It is Nicole Livingston. Nicole, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for once again showcasing women's footy. Of course, you're always going to do it. And also Pride Round. It's awesome.
It's gay footy Christmas, we like to call it. So if the AFL wants to steal that, they're welcome to.
Yeah.
Brilliant. No, Pride Round, second time we've done a full round, so pretty overjoyed with it.
On brand,
like a pun.
Nicole, we like it. Now, Nicole, before we get to the Pride Round, we need to get this dustbin fire conversation of COVID out the way. Okay. So in terms of AFLW, how are you managing the clubs and the fans in terms of this weird world we're living in at the moment?
Yeah, and, as you know, we delayed the start of AFLW to January because when we were intending to start in December, which was our new time frame, there were so many state closures, borders closed, and not much clarity around when they were going to open. So we felt like January was safer. A thing called Omicron came into our world. I guess... we've had experience over the last couple of years. This will be the third AFL season that the team will be delivering. And of course, we know that 2020 we weren't able to complete, but coming up to our second and a half, third season of AFLW as well, that we're living in this COVID world. This one seems a little bit more contagious, a little bit more, the numbers, as you've seen right around the nation, are skyrocketing. So we're really confident with the procedures and policies that we have in place. We are 100% aiming to get 10 home and away, which equates to 70 matches. So important to say that, because we've already seen in round two that we needed to delay or postpone one of our games. So the intent is to get that game away, but making sure that we're protecting player health and safety. So Laura Kane's been a magnificent addition to the AFL. And, Laura's from North Melbourne. She played women's footy. She's been around footy all her life. She's also a lawyer, very pragmatic, very well planned. And she's been with us for 3 months, and it feels like she's done about 3 years of work. 3 months. The policy's there. The clubs are completely, up to date with their knowledge. They're on board. They know exactly what's going on. We continue to talk to them, check in with them, help them when they need it. It is what it is, and we're going to keep playing footy.
Wonderful. Well, let's move on to something more positive, which is the Pride Round that's coming up this weekend. Obviously, the women have led the way in it becoming an entire round of football. When it comes to this round, we see it as a real celebration of our community. We do a lot of activism during the year and a lot of pushing for change. And this is a time to stop and celebrate who we are as a community. Why do you think it's important for footy to have these rounds?
We're into our sixth season now, and we're continuing to move forward. We continue to progress. We continue to have more women and girls come to the football and come to Australian football to play it or work or volunteer into it. But there has been a really specific origin of women's football, and a group of incredible women who have been pushing and prodding and wanting more for the space of women's football. And they come from, the queer community. And we need to remember our origins. I think about from a swimming point of view, in 2012, the swimming team kind of lost its way. It, didn't like each other. There was stories of the men's team and the women's team arguing between each other, the sprinters getting treated differently. And part of that we found was because the group of swimmers that we had representing in 2012 had forgotten the history of the sport and where the sport came from. So we made a real effort in swimming to bring back those old swimmers from years gone by to present the gold cap and to talk about their time in the sport of swimming. So as we move forward, it's really important that we pay tribute to our founding mothers, those who got us to where we are, and the origins of women's football. So I see Pride Round is a few things for me. It's paying tribute to our past. It's also proving that women's football, Australian football, women's football is for anyone. It is welcome. It's inclusive. There's no judgment. We just come and share an aligned passion of women's football. So I think it's celebrating that for me as well.
I got tingles when you were saying that. I think, you know, there's an assumption that women's football everyone's always been out. But when you talk to players like Debbie Lee, she had, struggled for years to get to this point. So there have been pioneers that have created this space that we do need to celebrate, I agree. And on the footy field, we've had unique stories come out in this space too. We've had proposals on the footy field. We've had baby announcements between, two women. Sabrina was one of them this week even. Partners, same-sex partners kissing at the Best and Fairest. The women's leagues have to really, lead this space. Yet not one male player feels comfortable to talk about their story at this point. Why is that? Not that we want to force anyone out of the closet or do anything like that, but why such? It's such a profound difference in the two leagues.
I think about as well, Tori and Darcy and what they have done in terms of, having the conversation about non-binary and the comfortability that they have in our space to be able to share that news. It was headline grabbing, but it wasn't like it just became normal. It's normal now. Yes, from a vernacular point of view or a vocab point of view, we need to get used to saying they and them. I don't think we've missed a beat with that. I checked in with Darcy after the first opening match and asked whether or not they thought there was something that we needed to do different. We'll continue that dialogue because I want to be able to have these conversations and have women's football be able to lead them. In everything that we do, the men seem to follow. Everything that we do, the men sort of, the women want what the men have got in terms of the pay and the full-time nature. But then the guys, I often have conversations about, our quarter length, 16 on the field, even, as silly as out of bounds on the full and the lasso rule. And I had an AFLM player say to me, that'd be really good in men's footy. And I'm like, what, like we've got in women's football? So I think the more that we make everybody comfortable in just reflecting our community and our society, maybe we get closer to AFL men's competition feeling more comfortable with it also looking like the community that we live in.
Well, we have had that with North Melbourne recently too, haven't we, in the men's with Danny.
Yeah, exactly right. And again, I feel like we're living in a world that is a little more normal now.
The only thing I'll say about that is the commentators still were using the wrong pronouns for Darcy on the first round. But it does take a while to change that. It does take a while.
And Darcy is very understanding that it is going to take some time and, it's almost retraining your brain and your mouth to work together. I mean, I spent 23 years doing commentary and it to retrain yourself is not easy. I was thinking about it when I was listening to that match at Icon Park and thinking that if it was me commentating, I would have had a post-it note
all over me too.
Darcy, them, they, and having she with a cross through it so that I kept reminding my brain that this is the way that I need to speak.
And I think, Nicole, we're talking about these things where women, the women's game or the AFLW has shown the way. It was interesting. I was listening to another radio station this morning. How very dare I? I know. But Josh Jenkins, who played for Adelaide and Geelong, he's hosting a show on there and he was commenting on they'd interviewed two women's sports people that morning and he said, my gosh, he goes, as a man, we were just taught you don't say anything, you give these short answers, and he said, I just love hearing the way that the women speak to us. And I thought that's another thing, I think, where the women's game has really shown a personality. And I thought to hear that from Josh was kind of pleasing that even though he's not playing anymore, maybe the men are sort of starting to hear that it is okay to be a human.
Yeah, and I think the men are seeing what AFLW is doing and trying to give a bit more of themselves. Mm. I look at the AFL channels, social and website, and the AFLW channels, social and website, and I know that the AFL side of the business looks at AFLW and is trying to be, you know, just that little bit more, you know, inclusive in the way that we are reporting. Having said that, though, you know, we spend a lot of time telling the stories of W and telling the stories of our history and how we've got to where we are. And one of the things that we are trying to do this year is just to tell the story of footy. So to be a bit more analytical about it as well. And I think the players are looking for that. Our fans are looking for that as well. So we'll always continue to tell the stories, but we also want to talk about the footy as well. And the footy has been fantastic so far. We're heading into round three, but the footy's been great.
And it's interesting you say that. I remember we had a conversation on Chicks Talking Footy last year around this. There was almost a reluctance from commentators and people in the media to criticise play or, you know, the way games were in the same way that we were with the men. And I remember Kate McCarthy came out then and she said, no, tell us. Like, if you know, you tell the blokes if they're stuffing it up, tell us as well. So I think you're right. There's kind of two sides of the coin where both can learn and change.
Yeah, we are still a bit conscious and cautious about that because the sport is so new as well. We don't want to spend a lot of time highlighting errors or mistakes. We want to celebrate the great things. You know, as people, we all learn from mistakes. So as an athlete, if you do something wrong, the way that it works in terms of feedback from your review session is that will be brought to your attention and ways to actually counter that wrong will be put up for discussion. So I don't think we should spend too much time highlighting any of the things that the players are doing wrong. You know, we won't ever, you know, if there's a falcon or if there's, you know, as funny as that might sound, you know, we don't want to ever highlight things that will make the players feel self-conscious or feel like they could be ridiculed. So there's so many good things to celebrate about women's footy and we're going to really focus on those.
Yeah.
I love
the storytelling. And I have noticed that, you know, some of the social media stuff that's being done, there's a lot more assertive confidence in backing the women in that space as well. Which has been great. But thank you so much, Nicole, for your support. We really value the AFL getting behind the Pride Round and making it a thing that happens, and it means a lot to our community. And even if you follow what's going on the socials this week, there's so many people telling their story about what this means. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And I hope there's some great footy this weekend, and I hope you're able to enjoy it as well.
We sure will. All right. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.